Let's take our Bibles and look in Ezekiel chapter 40. This chapter begins a series of chapters from verse 40 all the way to, or chapter 40 all the way to chapter 48. And what we have here is a revelation that the Lord gives to Ezekiel regarding a temple with all of its measurements and other things pertaining to this temple. Now, I'm just going to have us read from verse 1 down to verse 4 because I want to make sure that it's clear in our hearts and minds the significance of this revelation of this temple. There's no chapters that have caused more debate amongst so-called scholars, commentators, as to what this temple is. One of the problems is that the measures of the temple don't fit the temple that Zerubbabel was directed to rebuild after the 70 years captivity, because that would be the natural thinking. Well, the Lord's giving Ezekiel here a plan for a physical temple that would be rebuilt in Jerusalem after the 70 years captivity. But it doesn't fit the temple that was actually built. And some commentators have said, well, it was a promised temple. It was to be larger. But because the children of Israel were disobedient, then God reduced the size. Well, God doesn't react to man. What he declares, he fulfills. The other factor here is that some say that this temple represents a millennium temple that is going to be built at the end of time. Christ, they say, comes back to Jerusalem, and this will be a large temple that will be built, and the priesthood and the sacrifices and everything are going to be restored in Israel. Well, that's practically blasphemy. It is blasphemy to think that somehow Christ has finished the work, and now at the end we're going to go back again to being under the law with sacrifices and priesthood and all of these things. So you can check that one off. If you see anybody telling you Ezekiel 40 to 48 has to do with a millennium temple, then we know that's not it. Because when Christ came and finished the work, he finished the work, and he even told Israel in his day that their house would be left to them desolate. And he prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, and it has stayed that way until this day. So what I want us to see as we go through this, we're going to see a lot of detail on this temple, but what's the one thing we do know about the Old Testament in prophecy, picture, promise, and type? It all has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that when the Lord gave Ezekiel this revelation about this temple, he was giving him a plan in type and picture of what the true gospel temple is. And the gospel temple is none other than Christ himself. You remember Christ said that, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll build it again. And I want us, as we go through these chapters, in chapter 40 all the way to 48, this is going to be a beautiful study, just like we would go back there to Exodus, as we've been doing, and studying all the types and pictures of Christ. This is what is going to be set forth here in these chapters. Obviously, we can't get into too much depth in it because the purpose here is a reading commentary, but let's read the first four verses. And that's why I wanted to simply read this before we get into the rest of it next time. It says here, in the fifth and twelfth year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the tenth day of the month, in the 14th year after that the city was smitten. Remember, Ezekiel lived through the destruction of Jerusalem, just as Jeremiah did. But here in the selfsame day, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel. So it's not that he was actually transported there, but in the visions of God, the revelation, God brought him to Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes and hear with thine ears and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee. This reminds me of what the Lord said to Moses. Take care in every detail as to the building of that tabernacle. Here he says to Ezekiel, set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee, for to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. And so this is the stage now that's being set where, next time we'll see that in verse 5, behold, a wall on the outside of the house round about, and in the man's hand a measuring reed of 6 cubits long by the cubit and a hand breadth. So he measured the breadth of the building, 1 reed, and the height, 1 reed. So here Ezekiel, in a vision, is taken to Jerusalem, and it specifies the date for us. It was the 25th year of our captivity. Well, the captivity was the last 70 years, so you can see here that not quite a third of, just a little over a third of the way through. But this great revelation or vision of Ezekiel is what is recorded now in chapters 40 to 48. And it's almost the last prophecy dated that was given to Ezekiel. And it was many years after the fall of the physical Jerusalem, the 14th year after the city was captured, it says. So these visions were given to Ezekiel some 12 years after the latest of those already considered, as we've been studying through the book. And we, particularly the last one was back in Ezekiel 29, actually. You remember the Lord took him in a vision, showed him things pertaining to the captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. And so the beginning of the year, it says in verse 1, on the 10th day of the month, it's not clear if Ezekiel here intended this to be some sort of official calendar for the people of Israel, like you have a, they have the Jewish calendar of dates and times and other things. And this here would have been the day on Israel's calendar when they began preparation for the Passover, actually. So if you're wondering why the Lord put precisely the 10th day of the month in the beginning of the year. The Jews always, the beginning of the year was the Passover. And so this would have been likely at the time when Israel would have been preparing the Passover, but of course they were in captivity and the temple was destroyed. I think that is significant because the Lord brings them back to Ezekiel, particularly a time of remembrance when the Passover should have been celebrated, but instead the people were taken into captivity. But the key here, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Here Ezekiel, and particularly because of the nature of what was revealed to him, the Spirit directed him to make certain that he wasn't just speculating like people do with prophecy and come up with their own ideas. He clearly declares and insists that the source of this vision was none other than God himself. That gives me some comfort and encouragement when I read it, especially in light of all of the commentators' speculations about what this is about. But none other than the Lord, you see that capital L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah God. And I believe when we come to the New Testament, we can say very plainly that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because even before he came to this earth, he was still the Word. The Word was in the beginning with God and was God. And so this is specifically a revelation from the hand of Christ himself. That's why, as we read on, I believe he was revealing to Ezekiel symbolically through these different types and pictures here, what would be his church, what would be his gospel kingdom when he would come in the first century. I believe that's where this all was started. But here in the visions of God, it says, he took me into the land and of Israel and set me on a very high mountain. We're not told the name of the mountain. But from the description that follows, we gather that Ezekiel could, in this vision, see Jerusalem. Jerusalem surrounded by mountains, and Jerusalem itself is situated on Mount Zion. Significantly, the last time that Ezekiel visited Jerusalem in a vision, we saw that back in Ezekiel 8:11. Remember, he's up in captivity, but the Lord, in a vision, carried him back to the land. And in that vision, what he saw was the temple profaned by God's people and the glory of God departing from that temple. That's why I say that there was no going back to that old temple. That's not what we're about here, because that God had already moved his glory from it, destroyed it. Even when Zerubbabel was raised up to rebuild that temple, it was temporary and would ultimately be destroyed in 70 AD. It was never, ever again like it was when Solomon initially built it. But what Ezekiel saw in the previous vision, just as real as it was, I believe that even here we find Ezekiel in a vision again being given a sample or a plan of this particular temple of which the Lord is speaking, just like he saw an actual temple, the first one. Here, I believe he's referring to a spiritual temple where the glory of the Lord would be revealed again and enter in. When you go to Revelation 20 and 21, you'll see the image of a temple that is revealed to John. And again, it's not some physical temple, because it talks about a temple come down from heaven. It's talking about the church. And I believe as we go through here, we're going to see that that's what's being described here. He went in a vision, but he went to a real land, and it's not specified exactly the mountain. It just says here a very high mountain. Actually, Mount Moriah, the mountain on which Solomon's temple was built, would have been such a mountain, a high mountain. And I believe that that could be where the Lord took him back. Everything was based upon that mountain where God had for a while purposed that his glory should be revealed. Now, here's what's interesting, though, with regard to this particular temple. You notice it says in verse 2, from the high mountain by which was as the frame of a city on the south. So this temple that Ezekiel is seeing here is actually like a city. It's not a temple within a city. And as we go down through here and look at this, that's exactly how the church of Christ is described. It's a temple, but it's a city in which those dwell that Christ has redeemed. The reason why God is revealing this to Ezekiel at this point is to show Israel that there was a purpose of God more greater than just bringing them back into the land, but that he would in his time build a temple, but it's not going to be a physical temple. This would be a temple which is none other than the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we get into some of the dimensions, we're going to see this was a large temple, large city. That's why people reading it say that there's never been anything built like this yet. But they keep looking for a physical temple. But when you compare it to the temple of Christ's body, oh, how large it is. It's not just one location, but it's worldwide. And that's what he's purposed. Like the structure of a city. That's what it seemed like to Ezekiel as he looked at it with its courts and its walls, its towers and its gates. Well, that's exactly how the church of Christ is described in Revelation 21 and 22, 21, 22. The New Jerusalem had no temple therein, it says. Was because why? Christ is a temple. So this all fits as we go through here. It's just beautiful to see, again, in type and picture, the Lord revealing to Ezekiel what would be the gospel temple, not a physical kingdom or a physical temple, but one that the Lord Jesus Christ himself would come and establish. I'm looking forward to getting into this next time. But verse 3 says, the man with the measuring rod, he took me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze. And he had a line of flax and a measuring rod in his hand and stood in the gateway. Well, who was this man that had the appearance of bronze? I believe it's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And again, revealing himself to Ezekiel, just as he had been led to Jerusalem and had appointed him as a guide, this man wasn't just any angelic being. When it says that he had the appearance of bronze, think of bronze being polished brass, and which reflects light. I believe that this is a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bronze representing something that endures. And lasts forever. It was used in the altar in the temple where the fire was lit for the sacrifices. It couldn't be destroyed. And he had a line of facts and a measuring rod. Again, two instruments for measuring. One was some kind of rope or string made out of flax, and the other was a solid rod. It says he stood in the gateway. So the man with the measuring rod speaks to Ezekiel, and we'll stop here with this, and tells him, look with your eyes and hear with your ears and fix your mind on everything. That's what we need to do here. When you read in the New Testament, it says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's the Lord by His Spirit revealing something that isn't natural. And that's why we're not to read this with natural eyes or natural ears. But it's spiritual in nature. And this radiant man told Ezekiel to focus and pay close attention so that the description of the temple that he would be shown, he would be able to take and write down exactly what was told him. He's not sitting there with a quill. So this would mean the Spirit would have then reminded him of these things as he sat down and wrote it, just like with the disciples. When they wrote the Gospels, they were not following the Lord around with dictation tablets and writing down. The Lord said that when the Spirit would come, He would give them all understanding, lead them into all truth, that they would recall everything that He had told them. And I see that here with Ezekiel. So important would be what he was about to see, that this was not to be something just giving a blueprint for a physical type temple, but that it would be something that would be by revelation, and that those that were the true Israel, they would be able to enter in and to see its significance as they look to Christ and His coming. And that's why he says there, declare to the house of Israel everything you see. So the audience for this vision was to be primarily the house of Israel, but I believe the true Israel. They were not all Israel that were of Israel, but this would be for those who later on, even as Daniel began to read about Jeremiah, from Jeremiah about how the Lord had purposed 70 years and then the captivity would be over, but then there would be, remember the 490 years in the vision that was given him all the way down to the time of Christ. All of this, just like with Daniel, I believe with Ezekiel, is forward looking to what God promised for His true Israel when Christ would come, that He would be the temple. And as I mentioned already in John chapter 2, that's what the Lord said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. But even Paul in Galatians chapter 4 mentioned two mountains in an allegory. And he spoke there of a Jerusalem that was from above, just like in Revelation 21:22, that Jerusalem that came down from heaven. That's the church. That's the temple that Christ built. And the writer of the Hebrews said the same thing in Hebrews 12:22. Ye are not come unto Mount Zion, not a physical temple, but unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. That's why I believe that when people try to fit this in and figure out what kind of physical temple it's going to be, they've missed it. It's not talking about a physical temple. This is talking about a spiritual temple, a new temple, unlike any of the physical temples that ever existed, and was much greater and had much more glory than anything that had been heretofore. So Lord willing, we'll pick up in verse 5 next time and start reading down through and look at some of the symbolisms that there are. We'll take it little by little as we read through, but I believe that that's the way that the Lord would have us go through this, looking for Christ. Like I said, as with any of the scriptures, He's the one we want to see. Gracious Father, I thank You for Your word and the mystery of it, that if we just try to read it with natural eyes, that we'll come away with a wrong conclusion. It's like the Pharisees. They studied the scriptures because they thought in them they had eternal life just by what knowledge they gleaned, and yet they missed Christ. Christ said, "They are they which testify of Me." And even after His resurrection, the Lord Jesus spoke to those on the road to Emmaus, starting with Moses and the prophets and all the scriptures. Those things pertain to Him. So I pray that You would direct our hearts to Christ, and as we go through the reading of these important chapters, that You would teach us of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're mindful to give You the praise, honor, and glory in His precious name. Amen.